Luke chapter 1, and we're going to consider today the visit of the angel Gabriel to Zacharias, the priest. This week, a visit from Gabriel, and next week, another visit, and you'll have to wait to see what visit that is. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 5. This will be quite a few verses, so comprehend. Luke 1, 5. There was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the court of Abijah. And he had a wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. Now it came to pass, while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his court, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to enter into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the hour of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, because thy supplication is heard, and thy wife, Elizabeth, shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. And he shall drink no wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn unto the Lord their God. And he shall go before his face in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to walk in the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared for him. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak unto thee, and to bring thee these good tidings. And behold, thou shalt be silent, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall come to pass, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people were waiting for Zacharias, and they marveled while he tarried in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he continued making signs unto them, and remained dumb. And it came to pass, when the days of his ministration were fulfilled, he departed unto his house. That's enough. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the history that is contained in the Bible. It is unlike the history of men. For all the facts that man has accomplished, for all the facts that they have gathered and recorded for us, we thank you. But our God, we are glad that thou hast given us a book that records facts that man could never discover. We are glad that thou dost tell us about the goings-on in heaven and how they affect earth, as well as the perplexities that come upon men because of what happens on earth, things they are not able to comprehend. We are thankful, our Father, that thou dost know heaven as well as earth, and thou hast in a small measure told us about these mysterious things, so we would learn something from this portion that we have read today. Thy Spirit is he who will teach us. So, by thy Spirit, do teach us, Father, in the hearts of those who listen, and by empowering the lips of him who speaks, we desire to know the truths concerning the coming of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as thou hast promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Someday, the invisible things of God are going to become visible, and they shall be as much a surprise to us as they were to Zechariah. You would think this, that a priest who's been taught his whole life long about God, his worship, the invisible things, you would think that when one of these things that he had been taught about God's manifestations in the past occurred to him, that he would take it for granted. But instead of taking it for granted, it took Zechariah by surprise. Well, think now. Here is the temple of God. Here is the holy place. The presence of God just on the other side of the veil. And an angel appears to him in this holy place. What could be more natural? But what happens is this. That Zechariah, the same as all his ancestors for some 400 years, had never experienced anything supernatural. It was the same as the past. I want you to remember that. It's so important. Because if I ask, which of you has ever seen an angel, talked with an angel, been caught up to heaven, you say, why, no one of us. There are many who say they have, but I would challenge what they say. They have no evidence the way that God presents it to us, as in the portion that I've read to you. But this is the thing of importance, that after 400 years of waiting, no angel appeared, no voice of God was spoken, then suddenly, without announcement, an angel appears in the presence of Zechariah the priest, beside the altar of incense. And after 400 silent years, 400 years of the presence of God not being experienced in the hearts of men in a visible way, then again it started. Remember that. It's always been so. In the Old Testament, you would have periods when God would speak, when God would send angels, when God would make prophecies through his servants, the prophets, and then for hundreds of years, nothing would happen. And then suddenly, it would happen. And then those who were on the other side, who only had heard tell of what occurred in the past, they accepted all of these things by faith. But then suddenly, as in the case of Gideon, God appeared after so long, and suddenly, in the case of Zechariah, an angel appears, and he waited 400 years, and we have waited some 2,000 years. But if it's 4,000 years, it is the same, that God manifests himself in a supernatural way at times, and then for lengthy periods of man's history, God remain silent. And when that happens, all of the earthlings laugh at us who believe the appearances of God in the past. But, as he did at the first, and then there was this period when he did not appear, he appeared again, he did not appear, he appeared again, so now, after so long a time, the Lord again shall appear. Because all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yea and amen. It is simply a matter of the time that God chooses to reveal himself. It says this, having announced that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent, it says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. And what is so delightful about this time is that it was unexpected. If those who understood the interpretation of Micah 5 had understood the interpretation of Daniel 9, they would have been prepared for it. They would have known. But evidently, they did not understand the interpretation of Daniel chapter 9. But whether they understand it or not, God's program at the time appointed, when the fullness of time comes, God says, go, and his angel is sent from heaven, and he comes and he speaks unto a man named Zechariah. And this is what we are studying today, a visit from Gabriel, the mighty one of God, to Zechariah, the priest of God. I want to tell you a little bit about Gabriel. If you ask me, how many angels are there? There are so many that you could not count them all in your lifetime, if you counted them one by one. And yet, of all those myriads of angels, only two of them are ever given names in the scripture. And they are Gabriel and Michael. You read about angels so many times, but they are not given names. They are addressed this way, principalities, powers, their dignities. They are those who have special positions in God's sight because there are stations among the angels of God as there are stations among the children of men. But of those two angels we know, one of them is the archangel and the other one is one of the seven present angels. I want you to keep that in mind because it is significant to see that Michael has a specific duty from God and Gabriel has a specific duty from God. Gabriel is spoken of in Daniel and in Luke. Michael also is spoken of in Daniel and in Jude and in Revelation. These are the only angels that are ever named. Now, in the book of Maccabees, you find Uriel and you find Raphael. But that is meaningless. Unless God has given us their names, it means absolutely nothing to us. The speculations of men. But God tells us that there are two. And the name Gabriel literally means man of God or mighty one, mighty man of God. You say, that's a strange name, man of God. No, for this reason. At times, angels are called by what they are and by how they appear to man. If you ask me, what are angels? I would tell you, they are ministering spirits. But if one of these ministering spirits, as in the case of Gabriel, came and appeared as he did to Zechariah, as he did to Daniel, and you ask me, who is he? I would say, he is the man Gabriel. You say, but you said he was an angel. When it says he is the man Gabriel, it means that he is Gabriel appearing in the form of a man. And at times he's called the man Gabriel, but in reality, he is a ministering spirit, one of those that are sent forth to do service to the children of God. And so you find ever so many angels in the scripture, myriads of angels, and they are God's sent ones, and they do his bidding. All right. In the case of Gabriel, it is consistent as to what his mission is to the children of men. It is one of explanation. And this is what causes us to marvel. When Daniel is perplexed concerning a vision that he has seen, all that has to be done to make him understand is this. Gabriel, make this man to understand. And Gabriel comes forth and explains to perfection all the significance of the vision that Daniel had seen. He can tell everything that is significant, but at the same time, he knows when to put his hand upon his lips and stop. He says, this is all that I can tell you. The wisdom of Gabriel. And for that reason, when in Daniel chapter 8, what Daniel saw concerning the ram and the he-goat, and then the little horn of Daniel 8, and Daniel is perplexed about it. And Gabriel is bidden to go and explain to this man the interpretation of the vision. And he goes and explains it, and when he gets through, Daniel faints. That's the remarkable thing, that this angel Gabriel has such a comprehension of the things of God that when God sends him on a mission, he does not have to prepare. He is prepared. All right. He is the one who gives interpretations of visions that have been seen. And also he is one who himself gives prophecies that eventually are to be fulfilled. Because Daniel in chapter 8 did not understand the vision he had seen, and Gabriel was bidden to go and explain it to him. And in chapter 9, the celebrated prophecy of the 70 weeks of Daniel are spoken by Gabriel, the angel. He's the one that told him those things to come. All right. I mention this for the reason that Gabriel was the one who announced the first time the coming of Christ. Know therefore and discern that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem shall be 69 weeks unto Messiah the Prince. Gabriel said Messiah the Prince is going to come at this time. And now, Gabriel is sent, and he again is announcing the one who is to be born just a few months before the Lord Jesus. And he says, this is the one that is going to announce the coming of Messiah the Prince that I told Daniel about long ago. And then he goes and he tells Mary that she is the one from whose womb the blessed Son of God shall come into the world. You say, Gabriel, the explainer of visions, the announcer of the coming of Christ, yes. And here is something that I have no doubt about. For this reason, when the angel appears, it is not as when Moses and Elijah appear on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter and James and John know who they are. But here is an angel, and Zacharias does not know who he is. And so Gabriel introduces himself. Has an angel ever come up to you and told you who he was? But he says to Zacharias, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. Now understand this. Once he says, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, he tells us his position among the angelic beings. There is Michael, the archangel, as in the past, there had been the anointed cherub that covered. There is Michael, the archangel, but now Gabriel says, I am one of the select seven angels that stand in the presence of God. Now there is the clue. You will find in the book of Revelation that there are seven angels who stand in the presence of God. And after the opening of the seven seals, next comes the blowing of the seven trumpets. And these trumpets are blown by the seven angels that stand in the presence of God. And Gabriel said, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. I take it that he is one of these angels, and he not only can utter with his lips prophecies and explain prophecies, but he has been given this exalted dignity of announcing the coming of Christ, not the first time, but the announcing of the coming of Christ the second time, because we are told in Revelation, in the days of the voice of the seventh trumpet, then the kingdom of God shall come. Then is finished the mystery of the good tidings of God. And so, here is Gabriel, who in the first instance says, the Messiah is going to come after 69 weeks. Messiah the Prince is going to come. And now he's going to come again. And he is given this trumpet. And whether it's the first or the last trumpet, he is among those that are blowing the trumpets. And when that seventh trumpet is blown, it says, then is finished the mystery of the good tidings of God. And when that trumpet is blown, it says this, the kingdom of the world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. And so Gabriel is present when the announcement of the coming of Christ is made. And Gabriel is present when he blows the horn and the Lord Jesus himself comes back, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of the Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Therefore, there is no conceit with Gabriel, this man of God. But when he brings a message from God to Zacharias, he is indignant when what he says coming from God is questioned. When he tells him what's going to happen, Zechariah says, well, how shall this be? I'm an old man, and my wife is an old woman. We're well stricken in years. We can't have any children. How is this going to be? And that is when Gabriel says, I'm Gabriel, you stand in the presence of God. And because you have not believed what I've told you, you shall be silent and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be fulfilled. Now, think of the humor in this. Zechariah says, you told me this. Now, I want a sign as to it's coming to pass. I want something to let me know that it's real. And so Gabriel says, I'll show you something that's real. You'll be deaf and dumb until it does come to pass. Because you'll find from verse 62 that he not only was not able to speak, but he wasn't able to hear for this reason. It says, when the child is born and his mother, Elizabeth, says, we'll call him John. And they say, what? Nobody in this family is called John. And they signal to Zechariah. Why? Because he can't hear. If he could hear, they would say, your wife has just said he's to be named John. But they signal to him. Why? Because though his dumbness is mentioned, evidently he was deaf as well. And so, Zechariah, you want a sign about the truth of what I'm telling you? All right, you'll not be able to hear. I spoke to you and you didn't believe what I told you. And you'll not be able to tell anybody with your lips until the day that it comes to pass. Now, here is an exhortation to us. Think. If after 400 years, finally an angel appears and he announces this magnificent message, the very fact that he is an angel telling you things of heaven, is that not sign enough that what he says is going to come to pass? I hope if an angel ever does come from heaven to tell me anything, I will say that is sign enough that an angel has come. But Gabriel comes and he speaks these words to him about his son. And then Zechariah is unable to convey the joy of the things that the angel Gabriel told him. And so he goes out to the people and he tries to signify to them what has happened. And after that, they understand that he's seen a vision. But let me tell you something about the greatness of this occasion. Aaron had four sons, Nadab and Abihu. They were destroyed because of blasphemy. And Eleazar and Ithamar, his other two sons. Now, Eleazar was the high priest after Aaron, and Ithamar, his brother, assisted him. In the days of David, there were 24 courses that carried on the temple function, 16 of them from Eleazar's descendants, and 8 of them from Ithamar's descendants. And of these 24, these priests had courses and duties. And in the past, there were so few priests that there were not enough to carry out all the requirements at certain times required by the temple. But the historians tell us that at this time there were so many priests that in a lifetime the priest only once was chosen to offer incense upon the altar. And so think of this man, Zacharias, his whole life long serving God as a priest. That was his privilege. He could go into the holy place. He could function. He could carry out all the duties of the priest. He had access to the very presence of God up to the veil, but no more than that. But for the first time in his life, he is chosen by lot to take the incense and go in and offer it upon the golden altar. And upon this occasion, think now of the momentousness of this occasion and the pressure, the reverence, the awe that will be upon this man as he takes this incense to offer it upon the golden altar. And he looks and someone else is in that holy place with him. And then this one who is there, notice, he's not challenged. How dare you desecrate this holy place? He understands that the one that is in there is holier than he, and he is the one that is doing the instructing, that is telling the message of God. And when this happens, he converses with him, and his heart is filled with unbelief. Which brings us to this. I want to tell you about another couple for a while, and how Abraham and Sarah were like Zechariah and Elizabeth, but there were reversals in the thinking of these couples. If I ask you, when God made the announcement to a man almost 100 years old that he was going to have a son, what's his reaction? It said that he laughed, but it was a laugh of joy because God interprets it for us in Hebrews 11, and in Romans 4, it says that when this announcement was made, he did not fail through unbelief, but it says he waxed strong through faith, and he laid hold on the promise of God. And so here is Abraham that waxed strong through faith when the promise of God was made. But in the case of Sarah, when on the second occasion, and I might tell you this, it was God himself who announced to Abraham the first time about the coming of Isaac. And when that happened, Abraham laughed. And then again it is announced. And when God is telling Abraham about this, Sarah is in the tent and she hears it. And when she hears that she, a woman 90 years of age, is going to have a child, she laughs within herself, thinking, shall I have pleasure in my husband being 90 years of age? And then she laughed. It says, God said to her, why did you laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh. I didn't. He said, you did laugh. And so there are laughs of joy and there are laughs of doubt. And so in this case, it was Sarah, the woman who now is. In the case of Zacharias and Elizabeth, it was Zacharias who did not believe. Abraham did believe. It was Sarah who did not believe. But, as we shall see later in the will of God, in this case, his wife Elizabeth did believe. And that is a remarkable difference. That Zacharias comes home with this story that he and she are going to have a son and his name is going to be called John. You know that he told her this. Why? Because when John was born, she was the one who said, "You shall call his name John." And so Zacharias would convey in writing. They have a tablet. He had to write upon that tablet when his son was to be named. His name is John. And so this is the condition of the two. So here is Gabriel. He has made this enough. And Gabriel departs from him. And he never sees him again. I said that Gabriel is the explainer of prophecy, of vision. He is one who can tell you things to come. And I told you that he has spoken to Zechariah about being the father of he who shall be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I told you that he also was the one who announced the coming of the Messiah in Daniel 9. And now he is telling Mary personally that she shall bring forth the Son of God. Here is Gabriel, the one who announces the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the one that God sent in the past. And he is the one who with the trumpet shall announce in the future these things that are going to come to pass. Now, I could wish that the message that Gabriel brought to Zechariah could be the message that he would bring to all of you who are parents. Think of your children. Are your children great in the sight of God? Are they personally involved with telling the world about the Lord Jesus Christ? Are they strong, immovable individuals who stand for righteousness and tell the world about the requirements of God for wrath to come? Would it not be delightful that Gabriel could come and tell all mothers and fathers that the children that they should bring in the world will bring joy and gladness to them as parents, and also shall be an influence of good upon the world, and shall have a direct relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ himself? That is what is so sad, that when children come into the world, unwanted children, and then the children that come into the world even are Christian parents. I was thinking of this. Here we are, so small in Goldsboro, but it's all of those who have had children here, and their children were here. Why, we would have to expand. But what happens, as not in the case of Zacharias and Elizabeth, they bring forth children that are destined to be great in the sight of God. They bring forth children, and the parents are praying for them and asking me to pray for their children that they may be saved. And so that is the difference. And I could wish that Gabriel would come and give us a message from God as to the certainty as to what shall happen to our children. But what we can do is do as Zacharias and Elizabeth did, and we can pray and wait in hope that the things that we have prayed for, though it seems as if it's impossible for them to be fulfilled, eventually shall be fulfilled. Because, and this is the consolation, and in the case of John the Baptist, the only one of whom it's ever written, he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And what it says is, as soon as he comes from the womb, he is filled with the Holy Spirit. But at least in some instances, as in the case of the parable that Christ spoke, a man had two sons, and he said to one, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And he said, "I will not." But afterward, he repented and went. And so Zacharias and Elizabeth have prayed their whole life long for this blessing from God concerning their child. And God answers that in their old age. And so my prayer for you, and your prayer as well, is if your children are not living for God now, and God gives them instruction, go work for me. And they say, I will not. In the coming day, they can repent and go and be a blessing from God. So may good things that Gabriel told to Zacharias be good things that happen to us. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, help us know that in a darkened, sinful world, you burst upon the scene again and again with good tidings. We are glad, our Father, that I can see this. You know how long the world has waited for good tidings. Your Son eventually came in the fullness of time. And in the fullness of time, thy Son shall come again, and we will rejoice if in our hearts the announcement comes, the coming of the Lord, joy nigh. And so our God, prepare us for this. The announcement was made and thy Son came the first time, and the announcement is made and thy Son shall come the second time. And by thy grace, Father, now, little children, abide in him, that if he shall appear, we shall have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.